Okay, so we started tonight with this experiment of closing our eyes and feeling the physicality of our body, and then noticing that we are aware of feeling our body. So there's more to us than just the body, because there's something that's aware of feeling the body. And then there's this woman I met who had had her leg amputated, and she did not have part of herself amputated, she just had her leg amputated, but she was still fully there. So we can conclude that who we are, or the essence of who we are, is not in our body, right? So that's actually not that complicated a thing to get. But maybe who we are is in our mind, in that complex process of thoughts and emotions. So let's try that experiment again. So close your eyes and notice thoughts and emotions. All right, you might have images or words arising in your mind, or you might have an emotion you're aware of, maybe curiosity or confusion. But there's something going on in your mind. So you're watching your thoughts. The question is, who is watching your thoughts? Well, you're watching your thoughts, right? Okay, you can open your eyes. So if you're watching your thoughts are coming and going, but you're able to watch them come and go, then who you are can't be those thoughts and emotions, right? So there's something else that is sort of preeminent to your thoughts and emotions and to your body. Make sense? Now, imagine you have a really deeply concentrated period of meditation, and you just get so calm and peaceful, and your mind chills out, and you get into that deep meditative state, and you realize that your mind is just quiet. There are no thoughts. There are no emotions. It's just peace. Have you disappeared? Do you no longer exist? And yet there's something that's aware of the fact that there's no thoughts and emotions. So again, there's something else that we call us, or me, that is not our thoughts and emotions. So who are we? Well, this is the basic question of what I want to talk about tonight. Not who we are, but practices that ask that question. These are commonly called self-inquiry practices. They're common in the Hindu traditions and the yogic traditions, where you tend to find them a lot. There also shows up sometimes in Zen, and more recently in the secular self-realization programs that you can do. This practice of asking who I am, really. Or on the flip side, who am I not? Or what am I not? So the point is to keep on asking this question. If you're asking what am I not, you eventually run out of things and discover that you're not anything. Or you are nothing. Or if you're asking the other way, who am I? And then you're aware of someone asking that question, who am I? And then you're aware that someone's aware of that. Eventually you get back to discovering that you're just pure awareness. Now, I need to say up front that this is not a practice that I have a great deal of experience in. It's something that is very beneficial to a lot of people. With some people, it just doesn't quite click, and with me, I haven't quite gotten it to click. But because it's so beneficial for so many, I don't want to leave it out of our survey of techniques. So I've done a lot of research. I think that I can give you a good explanation and good instruction. But if this is something that you want to pursue, I would recommend going online and looking it up, getting some teaching from someone who knows more about it than I do. There's a guy called Ramana Maharishi, who I can give you that name afterwards if you're interested, who popularized it in our generation. And he's got a lot of stuff, instructions and guided meditations and stuff. So I just have to say that usually I'm teaching from my own experience, but in this case, my experience is limited. So having said that, I'm going to try and explain it to you. And I've got a visual for you. All right, now, if this becomes confusing, just ignore it. But this might be one way of getting a conceptual idea of what we're talking about. And then we'll go later for the experiential. So this here, for those of you who are listening, this is a circle I've drawn here. This is this is reality, the sphere of reality. I shouldn't say reality, I should say your experience of reality or your sensory experience of reality, because the only way we can know anything is through our senses. And I'm calling emotions and thinking also senses in this case. The only way we know anything is through that. So our reality is limited to what we can experience through our physical senses and our thinking and our emotions, right? So that's reality. Now here, this is you. Let's give it some hair. Okay. So that's you. Okay. So whenever something arises in your experience, a sight or sound or a thought, your attention goes to it, right? So say here's a tree. As soon as you are aware of a tree, your attention heads towards the tree, right? I'm using sight in these examples, but this is true of any experience. And this is like what we've been doing with the noting practice, where I say, turn the whole spotlight of your attention on the object that you're focusing on. So you notice something, you know, maybe here's a chair. Okay, so you notice a chair, your attention swivels over for a moment, right? And that's sort of how concentration works. If you're doing it intentionally, you're positioning your attention. So, you know, here's a bird. It's a osprey. You see the bird, right? So you notice something, and that's where your attention goes. But we've just discovered in our experiments moments ago that we are not actually the experience of seeing the chair or the tree, right? We are something sort of behind that is observing the chair or the tree, or that is being aware that we are observing the chair or the tree or the osprey, right? So it's back here somewhere. So say instead of, when you notice the tree, instead of pouring all your attention on the tree, instead you look back to see who's watching the tree. So you look back here, and you notice that there's someone who's aware of you looking back. So you got to go back a little further. And you keep looking back and looking back, saying, who is it that's watching the tree? Who is it that's watching me watching the tree? And eventually, you pop out of your sphere of reality, and you're out here. You look at the chair, and you look back, just looking at the chair, and suddenly you're out here. So what's out here? Well, you could say this is pure awareness. Right? This is space. Or spaciousness, perhaps, is a better way of putting it. Or the void. Or what else could we call it? The big self.
Emptiness.
All right, emptiness. Okay, so this is the stuff that reality is, our experience of reality is in, but we're rarely aware of it. But it's out here all the time. All this is the limit of what we experience with our senses. But pure awareness is aware of the bird. Right? Because it's not actually us that's aware of the bird. Everything that we think is, I'm watching, that I is always an experience of the senses. In that case, the mental senses of thinking it's I. What's actually watching is just this pure awareness. So I don't know if that helps or if I'm just enjoying playing with my whiteboard. But what we're going to be doing with these practices is looking back. That's another name, the looking back practices. Looking back sort of behind who's looking. There are two approaches. There may be more, but these are the two that I found that are prevalent approaches to self-inquiry practices, to ways of getting, I was going to say popping out of that reality, but really it's more like reality pops and we're in the big self. There's two basic ways of doing that. The first one is called neti neti. Neti is a Sanskrit word that means not this. So neti neti is saying not this, not this. And with this practice, we're going to look at things and ask whether or not that is us. And we're going to discover, no, I am not the tree. I am not the seeing of the tree. I am not the awareness that I am seeing the tree. We keep asking that. Is this me? And the answer is neti neti. So with neti neti, you're allowing your attention to be drawn to things as if you were doing a meditation on things, like what we usually do. You're going to allow your attention to go to a thing that comes to your attention. But rather than throwing all of your attention on that once you become aware of it, you're going to notice, your attention is going to be on noticing that you can notice this thing. So that awareness at the beginning when I said you can feel your hand and then you can notice that you're able to feel your hand, that ability to notice that whoever it is that is noticing that you are noticing, that's where you put your attention. And so you notice that, and then you can say, is this me? Well, no, because you can notice that someone else is asking about this thing that you think might be me. So the answer is no, not this. Now, this is not an intellectual exercise, so we're not actually asking the question and trying to answer it. It may be helpful initially to get you going to ask yourself the question and to answer that. Is this me? No, it's not. But what you're really aiming for is to experience directly the experience of experiencing something. Right? So you're not just saying who's watching, you are feeling who's watching. I can feel myself watching. Oh, wait, now I can feel that I'm... So you're experiencing it directly. You're not trying to answer it with a concept. And the example I have here is first you notice the itch, and you're noticing the itch, and you're noticing, after a while, you notice that you are not the thing that is feeling the itch. You notice that you're watching something feel the itch. And then you notice that, you know, you just keep on going back like that. Yes, then you scratch it. And then you notice that it was not you that scratched it. Mm-hmm. Who scratched the itch? You can actually use this in any situation. Who's washing the dishes? who doesn't want to do this? Who is eating ice cream? So that's the not this, where you're experiencing something and recognizing that it is not actually who you are. The flip side of the coin is the who am I, which is essentially the same thing, only instead of negating what you aren't, you're looking at what you are, what you think you might be, because of course it turns out that you're not. So when you feel the itch, and you notice that you feel the itch, then you say to yourself, who is it? Who is feeling it? Who is feeling it? Not, am I the itch? Am I the observer? The answer is no. You're saying, who is the observer? So it's really a very subtle thing, and it sort of, some people work better with the negation. It's easier to notice something and recognize that it's not you than it is to sort of look back behind you. You know, it's like you're looking back here, and it's sort of, you don't really know what you're looking for, because you're trying to experience further and further back. It's essentially the same thing, but one of them is looking directly backwards, as it were. This is seeing going this way, and the not this is like starting here and looking back at yourself, and eventually you come back here. Whereas the who am I, who is watching, starts at the experience of watching and moves back. So that is my understanding of the process. You look like you know it already. Have I explained it very well?
Yeah, definitely. It's the path of self-inquiry, for sure.
Would you like to add anything?
No, that was really good. Yeah, the neti-neti is what I'm familiar with. It was a really hard concept to understand at first. And then I started to realize that anything I could think of was not me, and that my range of perception was only what I can think of. So that was been an ongoing experience.
Right. For sure. So would you say there's two different insights? One is, well, I'm not any of this. But then it's another insight to discover what you are.
Yeah. And it kind of puts you at that place, that resting in that beyondness or whatever, because
yeah,
that's where you are or something, at least through the path of inquiry.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really great.
Okay, well, maybe we should...
The question is, yes, when somebody says, who are you, what is the answer to concise right there? I mean, it's like, I understand all the concepts, that's who we are, or who we're not. But that whole thing of who are you? When somebody just says that, there's no way of having a little tap answer for it.
No, and this is actually exactly what the Rinzai Zen koan practice is about. It's that the koans are questions that you can't
answer
verbally.
The koans?
Yeah, a koan.
K-O-A-N.
That's a Rinzai Zen practice where you get to come visit the teacher, and the teacher will say, who are you? And you'll say, I'm Marilyn. And the teacher says, wrong, off you go. Mm-hmm. You come back and you have to keep trying until you can actually demonstrate it.
Completely different thing.
So you think we should try it? Mm-hmm. Any other questions? An important thing to remember, well, a couple important things. One is that just the fact that I have a hard time with it does not mean it's hard. Some people will find this really easy, or at least really clear, if not easy to do. So don't take on yourself my difficulty with it. And if you do feel confused, then ask who's confused. Okay.